97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Reardon. Taking a well-deserved week off, you can follow 97.1 FM Talk on all the socials, 97.1 FM Talk. We are doing this live streaming on the live stream, 97.1 FM Talk. You can find us there. Jim Talen joins us, former U.S. Senator from Missouri. Of course, everyone knows that. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. It's good to be back on with you, Heidi. It's been a while.
Oh, yes, it has been. It's great to talk to you again. So, you know, now Trump is saying he's going to give Ukraine more weapons, but he's saying, don't shoot him at Moscow. Help me, sir. What do we do here? What a mess.
Well, you know, this is probably the most important foreign policy issue right now. So I'm glad you brought it up. And I will say, Heidi, that I've been wrong often enough that when I'm right, I like to make a special note of it. So, you know, I wrote 2 years ago that we needed to negotiate a peace. And that's been Trump's objective from the beginning. I also said the last 6 months, the problem would be getting Putin to the table. So Trump, I mean, he's got Zelensky now. I mean, he wrapped him up after, you know, some bumps in the road. You know, they signed the mineral deal after the Defense Department paused weapon shipments. Zelensky didn't say anything publicly, called the president up, had a really good conversation. So now the president's got to get Putin there. And I can tell how frustrated Trump is, because continuing this war makes no sense from Russia's point of view. But he's beginning to squeeze now. So he's saying, look, you got 50 days to make a deal. And I'm sure Putin remembers he gave the mullahs a deadline and he enforced it. Or he's going to put 100% tariff on, which would be really tough on the Russian economy. And then he's got this great deal with the Germans now. He's cultivating another partner, this time in Europe. And I think the new chancellor, Merz, understands this is a nice lane for him. So the idea will be Germany will buy the arms from us, including the longer-range precision strike, Patriots, that sort of thing, give them to Ukraine. And that's another way of pressuring Putin. So Trump is starting to step up the pressure to get Putin to the table. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if Putin doesn't come. He's a tough customer. You know, the Russians are that way. But Trump's determined to get this war over with. And I think that's in our interest to do it.
That is true. We're speaking with former Senator Jim Talent. So do you think Trump underestimated Putin? I mean, we all know how evil this guy is, right? Trump has to have known that. Did he just not, did he assume that Putin would, you know, come to heel when he became president again? I mean, what do you think? How do you think this went badly?
You know, I think it's possible. I have a lot of respect for Trump's ability to size people up. But, you know, we've had a number of American presidents who've, I think, misread Putin. I think that's possible. I also just think that number one, Trump was busy with another war, you know, in the Middle East. And number two, he assumed that Putin would understand that an off-ramp, you know, to get this war over with is in Russia's national interest. I mean, Heidi, if you step back and look at this, this whole war has been an enormous disaster for Russia. The Russian army has been exposed. I mean, they can't conduct maneuver warfare against, a fairly weak enemy. I mean, Ukraine's fought extremely well, but it's a small country. Finland and Sweden are now in NATO. NATO has agreed to step up its defense spending to 5%. If they get halfway there, Syria has gone as an ally because Putin couldn't prop him up because he's busy trying to defeat the Ukraine. These are enormous strategic defeats. And what's Putin got in favor? I mean, Trump is sitting there. But what's he got in favor of? He's conquered additional territory in Ukraine, a little bigger than the size of Vermont. So I think Trump probably thought, you know what? If I give him a safe phasing, face saving agreement, he'll take it. And I think maybe he did misread him in that respect. So now he's got to impose additional costs and consequences on him. There's a lot more he can do. If he imposes secondary sanctions on the banks, there's just a lot of things Trump can do, and I think he's stepping up the pressure now.
Well, there's so much to comment on that you just said. You said a mouthful, but it's important. One of the things that I think is really important is the idea of
face saving. I didn't say it well, but I said a mouthful.
No, but you did. And I understand what you're saying. There, but there's so much, you know, there are a lot of egos involved in all these situations, right? We all know that. So you want to give somebody an off ramp, as you mentioned, to be able to get this settled and still feel as if they've accomplished something. Everybody knows any kind of business transaction, both sides need to feel they've, like they've gotten something out of it, right? And usually Trump's masterful at doing that.
Yeah, and the bottom line he's been aiming for from the beginning, which I will point out, I also wrote about 2 years ago, is, okay, Putin's going to get to keep some amount of the territory he's conquered. I mean, this is because, unlike when I wrote 2 years ago, the facts on the grounds have changed. I mean, the Russians have been winning, if you can call it that, okay? And we're not going to put Ukraine in NATO. But what Ukraine gets is an end of the war, the kinds of connections to the West that it's always wanted, and help in rebuilding the country, which Trump is probably going to make the Europeans pay for, and rightfully so. I mean, you know, it was the Europeans' fecklessness in disarming and having, particularly the Germans, their detente with the Russians, that is mostly responsible for this war. That's an honorable peace for Ukraine. They're going to lose a little more territory, but getting that back, I mean, it's possible if we were to resupply them, they would need a year. I mean, we could go through the military details. I'm not, you know, I'm not a veteran, but I mean, they'd have to reconstitute a force. They would have to build up their materiel. They would have to retrain their people, and then they could launch an offensive. It'd probably take them a year to be able to do that with no guarantee it would succeed. They tried an offensive in 2023. It culminated in failure. I mean, it's not really their fault, but it is what it is. So, you know, they need to end this war too. And Trump wants stability in Eastern Europe. It's in the interest of the United States to end what is the biggest war in Europe since World War II.
Absolutely true.
We'll see. Yeah.
We'll see. We're speaking with Jim Talent, former U.S. Senator from Missouri. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Reardon. Speaking of NATO, it's so interesting to me. Trump goes and obviously he's going to make them pony up. Do we ever get extra out of Spain, or are they still holding to their 2%? We'll go back to that. So he gets NATO to pony up more money. And don't you find that interesting? That puts them in a better position going forward with this Ukraine-Russia situation.
Yes. And, you know, I talked about when I was right. You know, when Trump became president about 9 years ago, I was very skeptical of the way he was treating traditional alliances. But I had enough sense after a while to step back and watch what he was doing. And he has gotten more out of the Europeans, and he's gotten it because he showed them the value of America's presence in NATO by raising the threat that maybe it wouldn't be there. You know, it's kind of like a relationship where the other person has been taking you for granted. And you kind of say, you know, this doesn't have to go on forever. And all of a sudden they realize what they're getting out of you, and they start contributing more themselves. So Trump's aiming, and, you know, he's done this in the Middle East as well. I mean, he has the Israelis, and they're doing it for their own reasons, don't get me wrong. But the Israelis are beyond burden sharing. They're burden owning. They're dominating their strategic environment with the cooperation and support of the United States, which is exactly what the president, that's the kind of ally he likes, and that is the kind of ally that's the best for the United States. So I'm also really pleased because as the Germans purchase, particularly like the precision strike, the missiles, et cetera, that is building up our defense industrial base, which is really necessary. So if Trump can pull this off, I mean, it's going to be a major plus for the United States and for the Europeans as well. I think this German guy's realized this is a way to emerge as a leader in Europe, which desperately needs a leader. Yeah.
Right. And they don't need this thing spreading. That's what they're worried about, too. They're worried about their own butts, as always.
Yes. And, you know, the Europeans want to be viewed as relevant around the world. And this is a way, and the Germans want to be viewed as the leader in Europe. And as I said, they sure need one. I mean, Meloni is a good leader, but she can't do it from Italy, right? So, Merz, this could be a relationship. You know, this could be the start of a beautiful friendship, to quote Bogart from Casablanca.
Well, no, and I love the fact that Trump's doing this. None of this would have happened had Trump not gone in there and demanded these other countries that pony up for this. I mean, because why should we be, you know, well, the United States will pay for it. No, we won't. And now they're realizing how close they could possibly come to losing a lot by not ponying up. So this has been great.
Yeah, and I want our people to see. Look, I understand our people who are so suspicious of getting involved in situations like this. But I think the reason is it's been so long since we had somebody, and I don't exclude W in this either. So we had somebody who has purposefully and intelligently pursued American interests, who understands the different tools of power that we have. Trump operates mostly in the diplomatic and economic domain. And that's where we really, you know, where we have the biggest advantage and where we run the least risk. And he's very effective in doing it. So, I have to tell you, I'm really pleased. I think he's managing, he's extending our influence, advancing our interests, and it happens to be the influence of the interests of the world. I mean, smart Europeans and Middle Eastern people, they understand a strong, secure America is in their advantage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Senator Challenger, good to talk to you again, as always. Appreciate your insight. I'm hoping this goes the way we want it to. It benefits the entire world. Thanks for being here on the Mark Reardon Show.
Thank you.
I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Reardon.